Over in John chapter number 6, we have a story of the, really, let's just start in verse number 1. This is the story where Jesus fed this large crowd of 5,000 people. The Bible says that there was a multitude there. In verse number 1, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them, which were diseased. Jesus went up into a mountain there. He sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him. He said unto Philip, "Which shall we buy bread that these may eat?" In other words, where are we going to get food for all of these people? And he said, this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Praise the Lord. There's revelation right there. The things of the Spirit. Brother Hagin said this about special faith. This is working of miracles, but special faith receives a miracle. Working of miracles works the miracle. Yeah. Same result. You get a miracle either way. One receives it passively. The other works it by doing something.
Yes.
And both of them are power gifts. Power gifts display the power of God for the supernatural miraculous, which the miraculous is the divine intervention in the ordinary course of nature.
Yes, sir.
I'm interested in that.
Yes, sir.
Because here you see the supernatural miraculous power of God multiplying bread and fish.
Yes. Right.
That's supernatural whenever you've got enough bread and fish for one, but there's a multiplication of it to feed 5,000. So we see that here. "When shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And he said this to prove him, for thus himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, "There's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many?" Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now, there was much grass in the place, so that the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed it to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. I like that, as much as they would. As much as they would. Say that out loud, as much as they would. He's not limiting them how much they could have. They took as much as they wanted.
Yes.
Same thing true with you. You guys not setting your standard of living.
Yes.
You and I set our standard of living by how much we're okay with.
Yes.
Sometimes people are okay with just enough.
Yeah.
I got to the place that just enough wasn't enough.
Exactly.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Just enough's not enough. It's not enough until I've got more than enough. A supernatural supply to where, you know, there's just I got things I could do. I could do all kinds of things. Just
right.
What do I want to do?
Right.
Hallelujah. So as much as they would. Tell your neighbor, God's not setting your standard of living. There was a story in the Old Testament about God coming to David. David had committed sin, and a prophet came to David and said, "I gave you Saul's house, his kingdom. I gave you everything he had." Yeah. And he said, "If that hadn't been enough, I'd have given you more."
Yes, yes.
Somebody said, "How much is enough?" It's whatever you say enough
exactly.
is.
Amen, amen.
David had said what was enough, and God said, "I was ready to give you more."
Ready to give
more.
Yep.
Woo! See, I can feel religious demons already going, God's a too much God.
Yes.
Super abundantly above all you can ask or think. When he gives you his peace, it passes all understanding. When he gives you joy, it's unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask or think. He's a big God. He's a too much God. The Bible said, the psalmist said, "My cup runneth over."
Yeah.
In other words, God's pouring and David's cup is full. And God said, David said to God, "God, stop. It's running over." He said, "That's not my fault. That's your fault. Get you a bigger cup."
Yes, sir. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
It used to be okay just to have a little apartment.
Yeah.
In fact, I was down there. Justin flew the plane. He was with me. So we were coming back yesterday. And I said, Justin, I said, turn down here this street and turn down this street. And I took him over by that one-bedroom apartment that we talk about. Remember I said that you walk in and right there's the kitchen, right there's the bathroom, right there's the bedroom, right there's the living room. And it's just like, what was it, 600 square feet? Something like that? Something like that, 600, 800 square feet?
And
it was a large one. And I took him by there and I said, now, see that up there? See that 1101 now it is. And right there's where we lived. Well, we thought we was in high cotton. We was living on love. We just gotten married, living on love. Didn't know how small that place was. But eventually the walls started crowding in on you. You know, you're like, oh my goodness. So we got us a bigger apartment. Boy, when we got that bigger apartment, we got new furniture. We thought we was really living in high cotton now. And eventually that got too small. It's amazing how you can move into a place and it starts getting smaller.
Yes, sir.
But it's not the place getting smaller. It's your faith getting larger. Your vision, your mentality. It gets larger. I remember during those years, we used to always shop at JCPenney. Nothing wrong with JCPenney at all. Absolutely. I'm not criticizing anybody who shops at JCPenney. Thank God for JCPenney. It sustained us for a while. But I remember we used to always shop at JCPenney. But so, and Woodland Hills Mall. We drove by Woodland Hills Mall. We used to go into JC. We used to always park in front of JCPenney because that's the main place we shop. And then if we went to the rest of the mall, we'd go to other places from JCPenney and then come back through because we wanted to go to JCPenney. That's where we could find that's where things were on our level, you know. So I remember one time we decided to go to another store and we were walking through JCPenney. And we started doing that, started going to this other store. And I'll never forget walking through, we come in through JCPenney, and as the time passed, I never forget walking through JCPenney, looking around, this thought came to me. Their standards have really gone down. I mean, they don't have the nice stuff. They used to have some really nice stuff. And that happened a couple times. I was walking through JCPenney JCPenney's going downhill. I wonder if they're going bankrupt. You know, and I'm thinking all these thoughts. They just don't have the stuff they used to have. They used to have nice stuff. But they don't have the nice stuff anymore. And that happened time after time. Eventually, I'm walking through JCPenney and I'm thinking that. And I thought, wait a minute. I realized what was happening. It was JCPenney's the same they always had been. It's just that I'm changing.
Amen.
My mentality's changing. Hallelujah. So you got to get to the place where just enough's not enough. It used to be okay. Woo, we got all our bills paid. Praise the Lord. We got $3 to go for a Brahms. We got $3 to go for a Brahms ice cream cone. I don't know if you know what Brahms is. You missed 3/4 of your life if you've never eaten a Brahms ice cream cone. Pastor Jay used to work at Brahms. Brahms is a little ice cream store down there in Tulsa. It's coming all over the Midwest. They need to get it up in, I think it's in Des Moines, maybe. Possibly. We need to get one in Cedar Rapids.
There you go.
Just so I can go in there and remember how God's brought me from praise God. Anyway, but that used to be wonderful to get all our bills paid. That's not okay anymore.
Come on.
You know what I'm talking about? It's not okay anymore. It's not even okay to buy cars with a loan anymore. It's just like, your faith gets a grunt to it. It's like, that's not okay anymore. But see, that's what he said here, as much as they would. If we're okay with just having things paid, you know, just getting all the payments paid, then God will meet us there. How many of you know he'll meet us where we meet him?
Yes, sir.
The power of God will meet us where we meet his power with our faith. So, but we can go from whatever level we're on to the next level. In the Old Testament, we've got a story. Remember the prophet said to the widow woman, she came to the prophet and said, you know, my husband died and he was a good man. I think he was probably one of the sons of the prophets. They had a school back there. And he said he was a good man, or she said he was a good man, but he left us a lot of debt. And my sons are going to be taken, you know, back then they'd take people into forced labor to pay off the debt and stuff. So my sons are going to be taken into that forced labor, and we need a miracle. And then the prophet said, what do you have in your house? She said, I just have a little bit of oil in the house. And he said, go borrow, have your sons go get vessels from all the neighbors. You know, back then just vessels weren't that common, but so go get vessels from all your neighbors and bring them into the house. And he said, and then put them in the house, close the door, and bring your children. Listen to this. Here's a good, you want a family lesson this morning on good family? He said, bring your sons, your children, into the house and close the door. In other words, this next generation needs to see this miracle.
Yes, amen.
The next generation needs to see the power of God. So she brought them in, they closed the door, and they started pouring, because that's what the prophet said, keep pouring, keep pouring, keep pouring. So they started pouring, and bring me another vessel. Okay, that one's full, bring, pour, that's full, okay, pour. And they just kept pouring. That little vessel of oil that didn't have much in it kept pouring, kept filling up all these vessels. And they poured until all the vessels were full. Isn't that what the Bible said? And then the mom said, bring me yet another vessel. And the son said, we don't have any more. In other words, we filled up everything. We went all to the neighbors and got all these vessels, and all of them are full. Yeah. And the Bible said, whenever there was no more vessels, the oil stopped, or it said stayed. That means stopped.
Yes.
And then they said, well, what do we do? And the prophet said, go sell it.
Yeah.
That was worth a lot of money back then.
Sir. Yeah.
You know, so they went and sold it and paid off the debt.
Amen.
What's that? That's a miracle. A miracle of multiplication.
Yes. Amen.
Multiplication, just like we see the multiplication of the bread and the fish.
Amen.
Because we didn't finish reading that, right? I just got stuck on as much as you would.
Yeah.
Say that out loud, as much as they would.
As much as they would.
As much as they would. Down in verse number 11. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Say it out loud, as much as I would.
As much as I would.
I can't get unstuck from that. I'm going to stick with that a little bit. Listen to the Amplified Classic there, verse number 11. The Amplified Classic says, is that the right verse? As much as they would, verse number 11. John 6, verse number 11. As much as they wanted. As much as they wanted.
Well, God said he'd supply all my needs.
Yeah, but if you want, he'll meet your wants just as much as he'll meet your needs. Well, I just want a car that has such and such and such and such on it. Well, he'll meet you at that point of faith.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, people ask questions sometimes. Do you really need that? Or you don't really need that, do you? It's like they're accusing you of having something you don't need. Well, who gets to set what you need? In all reality, okay, let's take vehicles. In all reality, you don't even need a vehicle. You could get to church on a bike. Now, see, some of you looking at me, no. See, but really you could. Just that you haven't accepted that as okay. Who determined that that's not okay to have a bike? Was that God that determined that it's not okay that you have a bike to ride to church? Is that God that determined that? Come on now, let's think about this. No, that was you. That was us. And you know what God did? God said, I'll meet you there at that point of faith where you have a vehicle. We determined that, not God. Well, what if we determined, okay, I've got a vehicle, now I can get to church. Praise the Lord. But now it's not okay to have a vehicle without heat. Right? Or, and so you believe God, one that has heat. And not many come without heat, but I'm just using an illustration. It's like people get the idea that you don't need that. Well, God isn't the one that determines what you need. You really determine what you need, and you really determine what you want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Praise the Lord. I shall not want. I've had people criticize some of the things we own. I remember one time years ago, you heard the story. I don't know why I'm just into stories. I'm reminiscing a lot lately. But so we had a what year was that? Anyway, it was a four-seater, I had a four seed. She had, well, we won't talk about what she had. That's embarrassing. Really, it was embarrassing. That Yugo. We won't tell people that you owned a Yugo. Yeah, got you around. But so praise the Lord for increase. But so I had a 303 Mazda, just a little compact car. And God put 323, thank you, 323 Mazda, and God dealt with us to go on the road. Well, you're not going to drive all over the country with a little, you know. So we needed a traveling car. I didn't want it to sound like the rubber band's going to break any minute right now, you know. And I'm telling you, we started out just in that 323. Yeah. Traveling all over the United States. But boy, and you didn't realize how much the thing's wearing you out until we got the next car. The next car, we went for, I got to tell you another story.
All right, come on.
We were at a Christmas party, healing school Christmas party at Brother Keith Moore's house. We were over there, you know, just having fellowship and whatever, snacks or whatever, and fellowshipping together. And I'll never forget it. I was talking to Brother Moore about God dealing with us to travel more and get another vehicle. He said, what vehicle are you looking at? And I think we were talking about a Buick or something like that. It was a nice car. He said, yeah. And he said, have you ever considered a Cadillac? Uh-huh. I said, no, I never thought about a Cadillac. He said, yeah, look at them. They're nice. Yeah. They're really nice cars. They'd be real comfortable, you know, if you're driving. Yeah. And so, and he said, they're not as expensive as what you think.
Yeah,
right. I said, oh, I never thought about that. So I started thinking about that.
Yeah.
And we started looking at it. We looked at the biggest one they had, Cadillac DeVille. It's like a boat on wheels. So we were looking at different ones of them. And I'm telling you, we could get one for a pretty good price.
Yeah.
And a lot more comfortable. I mean, Buick would have been comfortable, but a Cadillac, that would have been more comfortable.
Yeah.
Especially that boat. I mean, you hit a bump and it would go, ooh. Yeah, so we got to looking around and we found one. It was an amazing car. Oh, my goodness. Straw, dusted, what's that called? Dusted mauve.
Dusty mauve.
Beautiful paint job. I don't think it was custom. In other words, it was custom. It was a nice car, and it had gold spoke wheels and a fifth wheel.
All right. Oh, yeah.
You know what a fifth wheel is? A wheel on the trunk. And that big old gold spoke wheel on the back. We looked at that car, and we thought, oh, yeah. So we took it for a test drive. We ended up buying that car. Mom, you remember that car? Oh, Lord. We might have a picture of that car. So we ended up buying that car. And I started thinking about it after a while because I'd pull it in. I don't know why I'm telling all these stories. I'd pull it into the car wash to wash it. And every time somebody'd come over and say, man, that's a nice car. And usually the brothers would come over and they'd say, yeah, that's a nice car. And I think every now and then some people thought maybe we were a drug dealer or something, you know, because it was a nice car.
Dressed up for Friday.
Yeah, we'd go to be dressed up for healing school and we'd get out, get gas. People look at you, you know. So I thought about it, maybe I ought to take that fifth wheel off of there. And because somebody, I had one guy, one a brother, he walked up to me in a car wash and said, how much do you want for all those wheels? I'll buy them off of you right now. He said, I'll give you enough money to put some nice on other nice ones. He wanted those wheels. He wanted $1,200 for all those wheels.
Wow.
I said, no thanks. I appreciate the offer, but I'm going to keep them. I really miss God, to be honest with you. Because salt got on and started deteriorating, you know, rusting. But anyway, so, I don't know, this is just fun stories this morning. But so, we got in, and boy, the first trip we took on that on the road, we got there and we were so rested. It wasn't vibrating the whole way, you know. Wasn't so noisy. No, I wouldn't even let her drive. I had to look cool. I'm leaning, you know. What's this have to do with the word? We're talking about whatever you set, what standard you set. God met us, and that car was an ease to buy. It was an ease. We never had to struggle buying, you know, making the payments or anything. God met us right where we are, right where we met him, as much as we want. And he never slapped us on the wrist and said, you greedy thing, you. But I started saying that, you know, sometimes people criticize where you are in faith. Brother Hagin made this statement because he said preachers would criticize. Brother Hagin was a Cadillac guy. In fact, I just found out, a good friend of mine said that he was, anyway, longer story than I can tell. But basically, the Hagins kept all those Cadillacs. He drove all those years. I don't know if they still got them today, but a number of years ago, they still had all those Cadillacs. I was like, man, I want to go to that museum. Don't you want to see that? Brother Hagin was a Cadillac man, and some people criticized his Cadillac, and he would tell them, I won't, he said, if you don't criticize, he said, I won't criticize your Chevy faith if you don't criticize my Cadillac faith.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We getting anything out of this? I had no idea I was going to go this direction. But it's according to your faith. According to your faith. That's one of the biggest statements in the whole New Testament. Jesus said it in one form or another over and over again. According to your faith. Well, I don't know. See, it's really not about what God can do. It's where are you at in faith. Well, Pastor, I don't want to use my faith on a car. Fine. Drive whatever you want. But according to your faith. Don't go to heaven and God say, I wanted to do so much more for you. Amen. But talking about people criticizing.
All right.
We got that Cadillac fifth wheel on it, gold wheels. We drove it all the United States. Went out to Colorado. We were preaching out there in a particular place I won't name. But it was a smaller church. And we drove in, parked that Cadillac. And she went in. There was really no place for me to just be quiet in that particular building. So I just sat in the car and just meditated and kept quiet until they got the service started. So she went on in. And I was out there, and so finally the service started, and I get out of the car, and I'm on my way into the building, and a gentleman came who had come late, he had arrived late, and he was walking about the same time. He saw me get out of my car, you know, the guest speaker, coming out of a drug dealer's car. Not quite, it looked like it really did. But so I said, and I walked in, I said, hello, sir. He didn't even say hello. He saw me getting out of that car, he said, I guess you think you're something, don't you? I thought, well, that's just great to have you in service tonight, you know. I said, no. I said, the Lord blessed us with this car.
Amen.
I just thought to myself, I'm not going to talk to him before service. I'm just going to keep on walking. Amen. But see, other people might criticize, but you just walk out your salvation and you just receive from God and let other people. The Lord said to me one time, just keep your heart real clear, make sure your motives are right and everything, receive my blessings, and if other people criticize you, that's between me and them. That's not between you and them, that's between me and them. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. And you don't need to steal widow's mites in order to get these things. God will bless you. We have things happen all the time from outside the church, and it's just amazing. It's almost like we're the favorite ones in the body of Christ. I think we are. Hallelujah. Well, anyway, as much as they want. Did you get anything out of that?
Yes.
As much as the King James says would, but the Amplified Classic says as much as they want it. Glory be to God. Say that out loud, as much as they want it. So, look at what it keeps on saying. When they were, verse 12, when they were filled, he said, now notice that, when they were filled, who determines if you're full or not?
You
determine how much. As much as they wanted. In other words, everything that they wanted, they were full. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. And they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Above unto them that had eaten. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
This is a miracle. Look at verse 14. When the men that had seen the miracle that Jesus did said, of a truth, this is the prophet that should come into the world. So this is a miracle. Yeah. What is this? A miracle. This is a financial miracle.
Yes.
Or let's put it this way, a provisional miracle.
Yes.
The Bible says in Hebrews 2, verse number 4, Hebrews 2, verse number 4, that there are diversities of miracles.
Amen.
Say it out loud, diversities of miracles.
Diversities of miracles.
Diverse, Hebrews 2, 4. Well, I'm in the Amplified Classic. Let me get over to the King James. You still here? God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Notice the term diverse, different kinds of miracles. What does that mean? There are different kinds of miracles. In other words, there's different, you know, let's just look at this. There's different miracles. There's miracles of nature. There's miracles. We could look at different ways miracles work, even of nature. Think about this. There are miracles that come of multiplication.
Yes.
Isn't that what we see here?
Yes.
This is a miracle of multiplication.
Yes.
Now, remember the Bible talks about, I'm talking about financial miracles this morning.
Yes.
I didn't give you my subject. I'm talking about financial miracles.
Yes.
Remember the Bible talks about whatever you sow, you'll reap.
Yes.
In the spirit realm, that's true in the natural realm. You know, you plant corn, you get corn, plant wheat, you get wheat, plant tomatoes, you get tomatoes. We all know that. But it's true in the spirit. This is not just a natural law, it's a spiritual law.
Yeah.
It works in the spiritual law of sowing and reaping as well.
Right.
You sow the word along a certain line, you're going to reap along that line.
Yeah.
If you want a greater blessing in the air, a particular area of the word, sow more of the word in that area.
Yes.
The word is seed. Praise God. Pastors, if they want the certain things to work in their church, they got to preach that.
Yeah.
I remember years ago back at a particular church back in Pennsylvania, I was preaching that. They didn't believe hardly anything I was preaching, but I was invited there to preach. That's always fun. Not. But the point is I was there preaching and I was telling stories and things God was doing. They were, because that's just the way it came to me to give it to them. They were, afterwards, a man came up to me and said, so you see this and that and healings and all that? I said, yeah. He said, we don't see that in our church. I said, well, let me ask you a question. Do you preach it? I knew they didn't, but I'm just being nice about it. Do you preach it?
Yeah.
No, we don't preach it. I said, it's interesting. I preach it. I get it. You don't preach it. You don't get it.
Yeah.
It must be that the Bible is true according to your faith.
Yeah, that's good.
Because faith comes by hearing and hearing comes by preaching.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So if you want you want greater miracles in the area of finances, feed your spirit along this line. Listen to the word along this line.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I sure hope some of you get more interested in this or you're going to die poor.
Come on.
Praise God for the word. It'll change you. It'll put some faith on the inside of you. It'll make you lay in bed and say, it's just not okay this way anymore. I'm just not living this way anymore. I just refuse to live this way anymore. Somebody came to me from the congregation here a few years ago, I think, and they said, they kind of said it to me like, is this okay? I said, absolutely. They said, you know, the reason that I'm trying to remember how they said it, something to the effect, the reason I really pressed into finance or something, is that I wasn't okay with the way I grew up.
Yeah.
I just wasn't okay with it. I said, praise the Lord, you weren't okay with it. Now, not being down on anybody else, but see, from now on, it's according to our faith. Amen. And don't let the standard of others around you determine what you're going to do. Hang around people that challenge you. Challenge you. I like getting around people that challenge the fire out of me. Pastor Nancy is the prime example. You want to know, somebody probably needs to hear this. I don't know if you want to hear it, but you need to hear it. You want to know how we got that house that we're living in? I'm giving the glory to God. I'm giving the glory to God. Well, we live in a house that people talk about. But what happened was we were trying to decide, because it was like if the level of faith needed to buy that house was here, our faith was down here. It just was just there, not quite there, almost there, even with all the stretch we had. But what happened was Pastor Debbie went with Pastor Nancy and was it Pastor Ruby and Pastor Noel? 4 weeks. I was telling somebody, I thought it was a month. Went with her. That, remember, there was 1 year Pastor Nancy preached prosperity everywhere she went. God told her to. And that was that year. And Pastor Debbie went with them for a month. They were traveling by car. Pastor Nancy was traveling all around different in a car. And Pastor Debbie went with them. And she kept hearing that, kept hearing that, kept hearing that. Kept hearing the word on that area. Kept hearing the word on that area. Somebody said, well, you don't want to get out of balance. Yeah, we're so out of balance on this side. It would take a lot to get out of balance on this side. We're not balancing doubt and unbelief. So she just kept hearing that, And we had been discussing, you know, are we there? Are we ready? Because there was another option. We could go a different route, buying a house up front. So there's a lot of things we were talking about. And are we there in faith right now? And should we wait another year? You know, just a whole lot of things like that. But she kept hearing and kept hearing what Pastor Nancy was preaching for 4 solid weeks. I don't know if it was every night of the week, but close.
Every service.
But maybe every day. I don't know, quite every day.
And in the van.
Yeah, amen. Pastor Nancy's preaching it in the van.
God, yeah.
But she just kept hearing it. And Pastor Debbie would call me on the phone and she'd say, I'm getting so stirred up. I'm getting so, and she's just preaching to me. On finances. And so she, I remember one time she called and she said, I got it. I got that house. I got it on the inside. We got it. I said, you know what? Stand up, honey. Turn around and look at him. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to ride your face. I'm going to hold on to your coattail. I'm going to let you pull me across the finish line. If you got it, I'm going with you. Mama didn't raise no fool.
That's right. Yes, sir.
If I got to ride your coattail, get into it, I'll be glad to ride your coattail. I'll pay for whatever damage I do to your coattail, you know. Hallelujah. So, and she did. She got a hold of it. And we said, we sent, now's the time. Do it now. Do you know that I told you we got to the end of 90% done. We need, but supernaturally, that's a whole nother story. We got it all built, moved into it. You know, was it 2 weeks later? We moved in February 27th, 8th, or something like that, of 2020. By March 14th, I believe, the nation was shut down with COVID. And from then on, that house would have cost us probably 15, well, at the beginning, maybe 10, 15, but probably after COVID was over, probably 30 to 35% higher to pay for that, to buy that, or to build that house. Whoo, glory to God. Praise the Lord. So you know what that is? That's equity. You know, not in the form of cash in our hand, but it's building equity. Praise the Lord. I don't even know why I'm telling that story. You just got to hear it and hear it. You want God to move in an area of your life, just keep hearing, and just get radical. Praise God. Faith for saying by finances. I have no idea how we're going to pay off all these buildings, but I just keep saying it because it's in here. It's just in here. You don't think it's going to happen, hide and watch.
Come on.
And don't say anything because you might appear to be a fool afterwards.
Come on.
Well, I don't know why they there. Well, just praise God. God said he has a home for this congregation. And I know how God works with me. This is the way he works with me. It's a little like walking through JCPenney's and it's just not good enough anymore. That's the way he works with me. And then I have to really watch myself get in an attitude walking in these buildings. Because it's just like, I don't like that. I don't like the sound. I don't like this. I don't like the lighting. I don't like the colors. I don't like this. I don't like. You know what that is? That's telling me God's got something else for us. I've been down this road many times. You know, the Bible says, ask and you'll receive that your joy may be full. You might have been in something that your joy was full for a long time, but after a while, it's not full anymore. My joy's been full here for a long time, but for the last number of months, it's not been full anymore. Here, amen. At this, you know, three different buildings. Driving over there. Some of you drive over there to pick up your youth when it's snowing and sub-zero degrees or whatever. Walking out in that or driving out in that to pick your youth up.
Come on.
Is that all God can do for Spirit of Faith Family Church? Hallelujah. I don't even know where I'm at in my notes. I had some notes. Praise the Lord. Diverse miracles. Miracles of multiplication. There are miracles of sowing and reaping. There's just the natural law of sowing and reaping. But then it's also a spiritual law. Sowing and reaping is also a spiritual law. But even that is not the miracle of sowing and reaping. There's the working of miracles for sowing and reaping. Praise the Lord. I don't know if you understand that or not. They're just the law. It works for anybody. I got back from yesterday. I got back from going down there. The primary reason was for us to go sow and honor Pastor Hagin and Miss Lynette. Just got some things in my heart about, can't even say it, but if they hadn't, because Brother Hagin turned to him and said, start the Bible school. Brother Hagin got the vision for the Bible school and turned to Pastor Hagin and said, start the Bible school. Because he said, I got to be on the road you know how to do it even better than I do. You went to Bible school. So if Pastor and Ms. Lynette had not been faithful, Pastor Debbie and I wouldn't have had a place to go to learn like we did. And God said, I want you to honor that. I want you to honor that. So we went and sowed a seed. And I wasn't even thinking about the harvest on it. I was just thinking about how grateful I am for the opportunity to go do that. Amen. Personally, we just gave personally, just out of our lives. So I got home and just Father, I'm so fulfilled. And there was another thing that happened. It was another thing God did, but so fulfilled. Thank you for the honor of sowing. And he said, sowing and reaping.
Amen.
I'm like, oh yeah. Yeah, I do preach that. There's no such thing as just sowing. There's no such thing as just sowing.
Amen.
Oh.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. There's seeds of honor. There's seeds of honor. And that's what that seed was. It was a seed of honor. Hallelujah. Some things are coming back. Sowing and reaping.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And so that's just the natural, it's the spiritual law, natural law and spiritual law. But then there's miracles. I sense we're going to have a miracle. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You'll, in the days to come, you'll understand a lot more about some things. So, tell your neighbor diverse miracles. There's the miracle of multiplication. How many of you can see this in this, the miracle of multiplication in this story here? But you go over to the second chapter of John's gospel, where we see the miracle of the water turned into wine. Remember that? We're talking about diverse miracles. And there's different miracles. There's miracles of nature. There's miracles to put, like somebody's body is missing a part or missing an arm or something, or the arm is not there. The person was born without an arm, or maybe with a little arm that was never formed. There's miracles of recreation, creating arms, or I just heard one recently, a lady who had her, I forget the details of it. Her uterus was, I think, mostly taken out because of some situations, but they started believing God to have a baby and got pregnant. And the doctor said, that's not possible. She said, well, I want you to take the scan or however they do that. And he's back there. He's like, I took that uterus out. But there it is. See, that's a miracle. Do you believe in stuff like that? I do. Seen it. Been part of it. But not a uterus. I didn't get a uterus. But, I'm talking about this. been a part of God using me along that line. See, you thought it. I had to clear up your mind. But that's in that area. But there's miracles of provision. And it comes through different methods. I'm trying to get through this. There's the miracle of multiplication. There is the miracle, John chapter 2, is the water turned into wine. What is that? That's a miracle of acceleration. Praise God. The word miracle, because that water was turned into wine, that wine didn't come from planting grapes, tilling the grapes, you know, keeping the weeds off of them, tending the grapes, pruning the grapes, growing the grapes, harvesting the grapes, you know, letting the grapes ferment, the process of normal, how wine is normally made. That wine didn't come from that.
That's right.
It came by a miracle.
Yes.
And you can see here's a miracle of acceleration.
Yes.
What once would take, how long would it take to get grapes to grow and to the level of producing? I don't know. You grow a little, I don't think a little grape will, grapevine or whatever will produce much. You got to let it grow up. So maybe a few years. And then the fermentation processes of, I don't know, months or years or something. So that normally, we could safely say, I think a few year process was what happened in the snap of a finger.
Hallelujah.
That's the kind of miracles you and I need to be believing God for. You know, this era is not going to come to pass by our ability, don't you? That's why we're talking about this. This era needs the supernatural. And listen, you don't need the, let's take provisional miracles. You don't need provisional miracles because you don't always need provisional miracles because you've missed it and made a mistake and messed up and you need God to deliver you.
Right.
Thank God miracles are available for that, aren't they? But that's not the only reason. Don't think that we're saying, I need a miracle because I messed up. We're not saying that. You need a miracle sometimes just because the natural realm cannot sustain the plan of God for your life. And God never intended the natural realm be the limitation of what, you know, you can do in life. He's provided miracle power to do things supernaturally.
Hallelujah.
And you're not messed up. Just because you came to a place you need a miracle doesn't mean you've messed up. The children of Israel were led by God out of Egypt by a cloud to the edge of the Red Sea. Did they mess up? No, they're right. They're following God. They're right where God told them to be. But they needed a miracle. They needed provision to be delivered from the Egyptians.
Yes.
They didn't need a miracle because they messed up. They needed a miracle because they're following the plan of God.
Yes,
you follow the plan of God, you're going to come to a place you're going to need the miraculous. But don't think you've done something wrong. What did I do wrong, Lord? I messed up. No, you need a miracle because you did the right thing. The era, the plan of God is going to call for the miraculous.
That's so good.
So just be okay with that. When you come up to the edge of something, you need something miraculous. Be okay with the fact that it's available. Don't be worried and stressing and say, what did I do wrong and all that. Just say, hey, I'm just being led. And I come to the place that the natural is not able to sustain what God wants me to do. So thank God I can tap into the supernatural. When Abraham and Sarah before Abraham and Sarah knew God as El Shaddai. El Shaddai means the God who's more than enough. When they didn't, before God revealed himself, see, we think, well, they knew all the time he was El Shaddai. No, there was a point in their life that God came and revealed himself as El Shaddai.
Yes.
They didn't know that before he came and revealed himself to them. We know it today. But Abraham and Sarah, before they knew him as El Shaddai, and God had said to them they were going to have a seed, you know, a son, and that seed would multiply and they would possess this land, Canaan's land. You remember all that. Before they knew him as El Shaddai, as the God who's more than enough. Now listen, it's not just the God, if you study the Hebrew, it's not just the God who's more than enough. It's the God who is more than enough. Even if the natural doesn't have it, the supernatural power will create it. That's what that means, more than enough. If the natural doesn't have it, he's got power to create it. I'll make it for you. Before they knew God that way, and God had given them a promise of a seed, you know, a son and a seed and a multiplied people to where they possessed the land of their enemies, they could see no way for what God had promised to come to pass to have a son. So they tried to do it in the natural through having Abraham sleep with Hagar, the maid. You remember that?
Yes.
Sarah came up with the plan. Now, that's a little bit strange.
Right.
That Sarah came up with it, but it's not unusual that Abraham thought, that's a good idea.
Right. Hello. Yeah.
He's a red-blooded male. Some of you aren't even supposed to laugh. But Abraham said, that's a good idea. So, but they since they could not figure out how to do it naturally, I mean, you know, with their, you know, Sarah wasn't able to conceive.
Right.
They thought there has to be another natural way.
Yeah.
And God came on the scene and said, no, I am El Shaddai, the God who's more than enough.
Yes. Yes.
Even if I have to do something supernatural, Abraham, you don't have to. It's not the natural is not what you need.
Right.
This is going to take supernatural.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. God's plan always calls for the supernatural.
Yes.
And that's okay. We're okay with that. With that being the case, we've got to be good at cooperating with God in the miraculous.
Yes.
That's why we're talking about this. We got to be good at moving with the Holy Ghost into the supernatural.
Yes.
And there's always going to be, God is always going to involve you in your miracle.
Yes.
He's always going to involve you. He's always going to say something to you. You're always going to hear something to do. Notice what he said in John 6 to the disciples there.
Yeah.
He said, you have them sit down, right? Take the bread here. He blessed it. He gave it to them and take it and, you know, have them sit in companies, take it to the company and also the fish. Somebody had to do something.
Yes.
That's why it's called the working of miracle. You're doing something that works.
Yes.
The miracle.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You got to do something. So he had them do something. Now in the story there in John chapter number, is it 2, where the water turned to wine. Whatever he said, because Mary, they came to Mary and Jesus there said, they have no wine. At the wedding, they ran out of wine. Remember? They have no wine. And they came to Jesus, they came to Jesus and said, they have no wine. He said, well, they came to Mary and Mary came to Jesus.
Yes.
What's that to me? That's not my business.
Right.
And Mary turned to, because she knew it was his time. Turned to the servant and said, whatever he says to you to do, do it. Key to miracles right there. You got to do what God tells you to do. You got to do what God told you to do. He'll always involve you in your miracle. Hallelujah. People, though, they want to just kind of sit back and say, God, just do it. And he says, okay. Do this. No, God, I wanted you to do it. He's saying, I'm going to work together with you.
Come on.
Don't think that you get to just sit back and do nothing. Many times you got to take steps. Obedience is big when it comes to miracles. Tell your neighbor, God needs your obedience. Hallelujah. So to God, obedience is big, and usually it's obedience with what you already have in your hand. But what I have in my hand isn't enough. Exactly. So do what I tell you to do with what's in your hand.
Yes.
That's good.
Isn't that right? Well, we've only got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That's not enough. Exactly. But do what I tell you to do with what's in your hand. The Old Testament lady. You know, we just have, Elijah said, what do you have in your house?
Yes.
I just have a little bit of oil.
Yes.
Do what I tell you to do with what's in your hand.
Yeah, amen. Yeah,
come on.
Amen.
Come on.
The mind wants to say, but what's in my hand's not enough.
Right.
Come on.
Listen to me. Oh, Lord Jesus, you got to catch this. When it comes to obedience, no matter how small, in the mind of God equals the bigness of what you need.
Amen.
Yes. 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 Yes.
He might say, well, it's just a small little thing. Just go borrow vessels, bring them into the house and pour. That's not a big deal. How's that going to make it work? Well, in the mind of God, that's obedience, and that equals what you need.
Yes.
No matter how small the obedience is. Praise the Lord. So God has decreed that in his system, obedience, no matter how small, is equal to the size of your need. If you get a hold of that, you'll realize it's not you doing this. It's you just doing what he told you to do, and it's him doing it. But I don't have the money. He's not asking you to have the money. He's asking you for obedience, which is really faith. He's just asking to use your faith to obey him. But what is that? It's so small. It seems like it's insignificant. Remember Philip said that? What is this among so many? And Jesus is basically saying, whatever I tell you to do, it seems like it's little, but it's big enough to meet the whole need.
Amen.
Praise be to God. Hallelujah. I'm in the miracle flow today. Thank you, Jesus. So if you'll obey with what he tells you to do, he'll take that obedience and stretch it until it's big enough to meet the need. Obedience puts it in his hands where he can do something with it. He can't do anything with it as long as it's in your hands. That makes anything you need attainable, regardless of how much you don't have in the bank. You always have the capacity to obey, even if you don't have enough money to meet the need. Because he won't tell you to do something you really can't do. He'll tell you to do something with the little you do have, and you can do.
Amen.
The key to miracles. The key to provisional miracles. Hallelujah. If you hear this with your heart, joy will start bubbling up on the inside. Hallelujah. Because you'll see, I see a way out. I see a way out. I see a way out. Your mind will go, but that's what does that have to do with it? Just this little obedience. What does that have to do with it? In God's economy, it has everything to do with it.
See the way out.
In God's economy, obedience is big, no matter how small. Did you get that? In God's economy, obedience is big, no matter how small. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm just about out of time. Barely got anything started, but that's we've been talking about the different kinds of miracles. There's a miracle of multiplication. There's a miracle of acceleration. God is into acceleration. Praise the Lord. There are things that Hebrews 2:3. Go to Hebrews 2:3. I want you to see this. Hebrews chapter 2 is really the chapter that, well, anyway, I won't get into that. That's Hebrews 2 comes, you know, right after Hebrews 1. I know that's Revelation, but but if you read down through Hebrews 1 and come into Hebrews 2, the context is angels, the ministry of angels. And in the ministry of angels, he said, concerning the ministry of angels, he mentions the ministry of angels in verse 2 of chapter 2. Then verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? We just read verse 4 a while ago, God bearing them witness with signs and wonders and gifts of the Holy Ghost, miracles. So in the context of him talking about, and you keep on reading, you'll find out he keeps on talking about angels all the way down on through chapter 2 or partway through chapter 2. So the context is the ministry of angels, and then he talks about the miraculous, right? And then he said, he talks about this great salvation, and don't neglect this great salvation.
Yes.
Now, the context there is not, listen to me very carefully, because you got to take things in context. The context there is not being born again salvation.
Yeah.
We know that's salvation. Yeah. And then we know this is the way you get into all this.
Yeah.
But the context here is, because the word salvation is translated deliverance, it's translated heal.
Yeah.
It's translated different ways. And here, he's really talking about deliverance from you know, from destruction and from it's over kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'm going under kind of thing.
Yes.
Deliverance. And he said, if we neglect the ministry of angels, there are going to be, and the supernatural, through the miraculous ministry of angels, if we neglect that, he said, basically, there are going to be things that we won't escape from. Did you get that?
Yes, sir.
In other words, angels are a part of the miraculous.
That's right.
Angels delivered Peter out of the prison when there was no other way out.
That's right, yes.
If you read the whole, very carefully read the account of Israel taking Canaan's land, the vast majority of those accounts involved angels.
Yes, yes.
They were helping them get into the provision God had for them as far as homes.
Yes.
Gardens,
yes.
Fields, farms, yes. Vineyards.
Yes. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Come on.
I could literally preach that subject alone for an entire week.
Yes.
God has spoken to me so much about it.
Yeah.
That's why we have some of the things people see happen for our lives.
Yes. Come on.
Yeah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. You can't neglect the ministry of angels. You can't neglect, because they're involved in the miraculous. Absolutely. Big time involved in the miraculous. Big, big, big time. Especially financial miracles. You remember the angels that showed up to the man when Dr. Dufresne was believing for the money to buy the option of that building down there in California, Southern California, years ago. And that angel showed up in that man's house. Those angels were involved in that. That miracle of that provision. Those angels were involved in that. So we've got the miracle of multiplication. We've got the miracle of acceleration. We got miracles because of the ministry of angels. Making any sense today? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So God has provisional miracles for his people in order to accomplish what he wants them to do. And by using your faith constantly, these things are being prepared ahead of you before you get there.
Yes. Amen.
I was amazed. I say I was amazed, not that it happened, but it wasn't what I was focused on when I went to Tulsa. But I was there three services. Pastor Debbie didn't go with me. I was there with, I met some friends there, pastor friends. Brother Randy Greer also. We were all together. And we were fellowshipping the last night. I was in three services, but the last night, before service started, we got there a little early and fellowshipping around and so forth. And somebody walked up to me and said, "Hello, you're Pastor Jay Eberly, right?" I said, "Yes." They introduced themselves and said, "I'm so-and-so." This was a lady talking and introduced her husband. And she said, "I don't know if you remember, but years ago in such a state, in such and such a city, you and Pastor Debbie came there and preached, and we saw you some, but we didn't know you very well." I said, "Yeah, I vaguely remember, but I remember the pastor there," and I called his name. Yeah. So I said, "How are you doing?" She said, "Good." She said, "I work for," and I can't say everything right now, but I work for a certain group, Christian ministry that it's not a teaching, preaching ministry, but they do some things to help ministries." And she said, if I called the name of it, you'd know them. She said, "We were discussing," I don't know how long ago, she kind of acted like it was a couple weeks ago, "about some people we wanted to contact, and your name came up." I said, "Okay." She said, and they said, "Well, who's going to contact him?" She said, "I will. I know a little bit about him." And so I had you on the list to call, but before I did, I decided to go online and listen to you preach and see what's been happening, what you've been preaching on, so forth, so on. And she said, "We would like to start working with you along a certain line, because we like what we're hearing. We're all agreement that we'd like to bring you in." And so we talked a while about it. And, you know, there's a lot of details I have to check out and see if it's what I think it is. You understand? So there's things that have to be looked at. But I'm being vague because I don't want to get into the details. But here's the point. I went down there for a totally different purpose.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it actually, when I was praying, I didn't get much sleep that night because I was praying, talking to the Lord, as well as the bed wasn't comfortable. But anyway, I mean, that's another subject. But some of these hotels, dear God, they call it a bed. Might as well be a block of, concrete blocks. But so, I'm praying. I'm talking to the Lord about it and just asking. Because there's things that I had questions about. Certain things I don't like about it. Uh-huh. But other things I have a witness about. Uh-huh. You got to follow the witness.
Yes, sir.
So I said to the Lord, I was talking to him. I said, what about all this? And he said, I heard him say this on the inside. I had the good witness about it. But he said this. He said, that's been waiting for you. That's been waiting for you. He said, you kept saying to me, Lord, do I have to go to Tulsa? Because I've got other things I can do. Right. Yeah. And I kept giving you the unction. He said, you had one thing that you knew you're supposed to be down here for.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, to honor Pastor Haggett. Yes. But what you didn't know was this has been waiting for you.
Wow.
Yeah. Waiting for you to get here.
Yeah.
In other words, what he was saying was, I've been out ahead of you. I've been working some things out that I spoke to you and Pastor Debbie about. You've had it in your heart for a long time.
Yeah.
Ministry, some things we've had in our heart about ministry.
Yeah.
And he said, you're believing God and you're praying and speaking in tongues, so forth. And he said, this has been being worked. See, there's things happening behind the scenes that I didn't even know.
Amen. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It'll help the ministry. It'll really help the ministry. Glory be to God. And he said, me talking to the Lord in the hotel. You've had this area of ministry, expansion really a lot into this area of ministry in your heart. It's stirring up bigger and bigger all the time. And he said, I told you there was coming a time this would be a stronger emphasis. I said, yeah, I know you told me that.
Yeah.
And he said, this is the beginning
God.
Of this.
Praise God. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I was saying that because there's a whole backside to your miracle.
Yes.
Things you have to walk by faith and trust that what you have in your heart, as you obey, take those steps. As you pray in tongues, pray things out. As you're faithful.
Yes.
I mean, don't quit.
That's right. Don't
just stay
quit.
With it.
Yes.
Things will fall into place.
Yes.
And like he said to me, it was just waiting for you to arrive.
Yes. Come on.
Just waiting for you to arrive.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Did you get anything out of that today? It wasn't real systematic. It wasn't real line upon line. Just kind of just preaching as it comes to me. But I believe there's something in there. Somebody ought to get, there's a little something in there somewhere for everybody. You can grab on to it. Thank you, Jesus. I talk, you think about things because the Bible talks about God preparing your way. Remember the Bible talks about in Deuteronomy 28, for example. He says, all these blessings will come on you and overtake you. So there's things being prepared while you just keep on walking with God. You just keep on walking with God and you'll step right into it.
Yes.
Taking paths which he's prepared ahead of time, living the good life.
Amen.
And so there's things being prepared. So you have to believe that when you're faithful, when you're obedient and you keep on obeying and you speak in tongues, you use your faith, eventually you'll just sort of trip and stumble right into it. You don't have to get out of the will of God. You don't have to get frustrated. You don't have to get in the flesh and say, well, I'm tired of waiting on this. I'm just going to do something. No, just let God work it out. Glory, glory, glory. Are you glad you came this morning? Miracles.
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 Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Stand with me to your feet. This is a supernatural church. Spirit of Faith Family Miracle Church. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory. There it is again. There it is again. There it is again. Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Come up here. Yes. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. As you keep walking in the light, keep walking in the light, keep walking in the light, keep walking in what you know you need to do. Keep being faithful. Don't let the devil discourage you. Don't let him get you to back off and say, well, it's too tough to do that. I can't do that. But as you do what you know you need to do, it'll all turn. It'll all turn. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. So get with it. Just get with it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you've got a business, come up here. If you would like us to minister to you, it's not obligated. You know, you're not obligated to come up. But if you have a business, I believe God wants to do some miracles for businesses this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. I don't know what you know, while I'm preaching, I believe some of you had some things stir in you, especially those of you that have businesses. And I might not know what that is, but there's going to be something imparted into you to help you get you across the finish line with what you have in your heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Honey, you want to join me? Reach out your hand toward these. Go ahead and bring up the music while we minister. Father, thank you for these that are standing here today. Let's go down here, honey. Thank you, Father, for the thing you put in their heart, what they're called and anointed to do. Hallelujah. We add our faith with them today. Any impartations, any beginnings of the miraculous, any supernatural acceleration, any supernatural multiplication, any angelic assistance today that's needed for their business and their assignment in the body of Christ. We lay hands on them today, believing you for that to come. In Jesus' name, be blessed. 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 In Yavakishtakiye, Mastakitiye, Mastakitiye, Kramasakite, be blessed. In Jesus' name, be blessed. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Be blessed in that business. Everything you put your hand to, in Jesus' name. Be blessed, Etta. Supernatural flow. Yes, the supernatural flow. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Maskateteye. Branzgateteye. Braskateteye. Branstantatoye. Ambrososoke. Bandere brogede. Bransakateye. Now I add my faith to you for you to get into that business of your own that you've had in your heart. I join my faith with you. Pastor David and I join our faith with you. And we say, Satan, you take your hands off the progress of that plan that he's to carry out. Being in business for there comes the anointing. Be blessed. I thank you for the anointing to get into your business that you have in your heart. In the name. Maskatiye. Be blessed. In Jesus' mighty name. In the name of Jesus. Be blessed. Any acceleration, any multiplication, any angelic assistance, we call for it in Jesus' name. Whoa, baraskate. Be blessed. In Jesus' name. Maskateteye. Oh, masaka. Braskateye. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, brangase. The ability. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. The ability to multitask. My. And, I see that, Lord. Much increase ability added to her. In Jesus' mighty name. Be blessed. In the name. Maskateteye. Be blessed. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your blessing on all she puts her hand to. There it comes. My. Shkite prapasakaye. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Give me some ushers. In the name, be blessed in what he puts his hand to in that business. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Brother Brendan, come up here. I've been praying. There's something over the last couple of weeks, I would say. I've been aware that there's something. Lord, how do I say that? Something that he wants to speak to you about. Maybe you've sort of blocked it out and said, no, I can't. In the name of Jesus. And I sense it's because the reason you're saying I can't is because of some direction, which was from the Lord in the past, that he directed you to do something. And so now further direction is coming, and it seems like it's going against something he said in the past. And so you're sort of blocking it out, and it's been hindering the ability of God to take you forward. Does that make any sense? No, well, if you're blocking it out, it wouldn't make sense. But be open. That's what the Holy Ghost is saying. Yeah. Be open to something that he's going to be speaking to you about. That it'll be, see, there's things that are for seasons. Mm-hmm. And some of the things he said in the past, it was for that season. But now it's a different season. And he's going to be saying some things that seems almost to contradict. So receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Don't let your mind block it out. Don't let your mind block it out. In the name of Jesus. Be blessed, Evan. In the name of Jesus. And it'll all come to pass just like I spoke to. I think I said it to you. I don't know if I said it to you. But I saw you catering, or whatever the word is, you know, putting on events for even well-known politicians. Remember that? It'll all come to pass. It'll all come to pass. Hallelujah. There's a verse for you. Seest thou a man diligent and skillful, he'll stand before great men. Claim that verse. Be diligent. Be skillful. Be excellent. Do everything top notch. And go from level to level, from glory to glory. And it'll come to pass. In the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Father. Be muskiteye. Ha ha ha. Be blessed. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Somebody ought to sing something. Y'all got something? Praise the Lord.
Spirit, move. Do what you want to do. We offer ourselves vessels you can use as you choose. Move, Holy Spirit, move. Spirit, move. Come on, lift your hands right now.
Do
what you want to do. And this is coming out of your spirit. We offer ourselves vessels you can use as you choose. Move, Holy Spirit. One more time. Thank you, Lord. Move, Spirit, move. Do what you want to do. We offer ourselves. We offer ourselves vessels you can use as you choose. Move, Holy Spirit. We offer ourselves vessels. We offer ourselves vessels you can use. Move, Holy Spirit.
Praise God. Brother Brian, would you come down here, Miss Melissa? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Some of the things you and I have talked about, I don't know, two or three times over the last number of years. I think you know what I'm talking about. What you sense God wants you to do in the future. Hallelujah. Standing in front of the, before I left for Tulsa, standing in front of the, I don't know why, so many things happen when I'm having my breakfast. I guess because I just come out of prayer, you know what I mean? Usually I just came out of prayer. But anyway, I was standing there, and I, for the first time, I saw it. It's just ahead. Just ahead. Thank you, Father. I don't mean days or weeks, but you know what I mean. Hallelujah. So, Father, I thank you for all the preparation, all the necessary remaining things that must be imparted. Yeah. Thank you, Father, in this remaining season, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for it, Father. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for it. Oh, Masakite. Thank you for it, Father. Thank you for it, Father. Thank you for it, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I worship you.
What you want to do.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Lord, we offer ourselves as vessels you can use. One move, Holy Spirit, move. Oh, Spirit, move. Spirit, move.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Master,
do what you want to do.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
For we offer ourselves as vessels you can use. Go on, move.
Holy Spirit. Sing it loud. Sing it loud.
Spirit, move. Spirit, move.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you. Thank you, Lord.
We offer ourselves as vessels you can use. Go on, move. Holy Spirit, move.
Thank you, Lord.
Spirit, move.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Do what you want to do. Lord, we offer ourselves. You can use as you choose, move. Holy Spirit, move. We offer, Lord, we offer ourselves as vessels you can use. One move, Holy Spirit, move.
Glory be to God. I'm a vessel. Are you a vessel?
Yeah.
But you know, if you don't obey, you can't be a vessel. Got to respond. Got to move with the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Are you glad you came this morning?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
What's ahead is going to take some financial miracles.
Yeah.
But see, so don't let that make you down, get you down. That's not our department. Our department is just to obey. Just let Him work it out. Just let Him work it out.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Good things are ahead. Praise God. I mean, it might get so good, even Travis might dance. Glory. Give God a shout this morning. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Prepare, 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 prepare. prepare, prepare, Brian. I hear this statement. The Lord just keeps saying, prepare, prepare, prepare. Prepare, prepare, prepare. Gird up yourself, prepare yourself for what will oppose this transition, and you'll go right on through it if you're prepared. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, if you're a military, you know, every nation has a military, and somebody's getting ready to attack you, and you knew it was coming, and you prepared, and you know every one of their strategies, you can just cut through them like butter, right? But if they surprise you unprepared, it could be a struggle. Well, God always has you, if you listen to the Holy Ghost, He'll always have you prepared. Hallelujah. That's the way we flow, right? He makes us the head, not the tail. That means He keeps us ahead of the devil. He has us always, we're always ready for the devil if we live in the Spirit. Amen.